Okay, well, with that, let's get going. So I sent out an agenda late last week, which I hope you all received, but this effectively is the agenda. So I wanted to make sure that that was okay. Just to start with a review of the agenda, then just a review of the minutes, if there are any comments or questions around the minutes from the Cartagena meeting. I'm making the suggestion that we have a vice chair to the working group, and I'm planning to nominate somebody, but the floor is open if there are any other volunteers for that. And also a review of the documents to date, not as a page flip or a detailed review, but just acknowledgement of the documents that we have, and in particular, for those with history here, are there any other documents or artifacts of this discussion, which stretches back to the dawn of time, that we have not unearthed or surfaced thus far? And then Peter is going to give us a brief presentation, and this is, in a sense, just to get some of the ideas flowing about the model that Center uses. So right out of the gate, I want to say that Center is a different organization. It is a member base, but a voluntary fee-for-service organization. So I recognize it's a different structure, but it is just an interesting model, one of many that could be considered. And I think primarily what I would like to get from this is a common approach to how we're going to move this working group forward. And that really is what I'd like to get out of today. And I've made some suggestions below as to how that would take shape and what that would look and feel like. So that's the agenda. As you know, as most people know, I think we've had to reshuffle the deck a little bit in terms of what today's schedule looks like in order to accommodate some of the ICANN staffers, Akram in particular, who will be here at 4 o'clock. So we only have till approximately 3:30 here. Recognize that's an abbreviated session, but then we'll have a joint SOP finance working group session at 3:30, and then we'll go right into the meeting with Akram at 4 o'clock. Correct? Okay. Is that okay with everybody? Meet everybody's expectations? Any additions or comments on the agenda? We're good with the agenda. The minutes from the Cartagena meeting, any comments, concerns, revisions? Okay. Two bullet points down. The third is... given that this working group has the potential to go on for a little while and have a number of prongs, I think it would be prudent to have a vice chair. And as such, I would like to nominate Vika for that role. However, it is certainly open. And if there's anybody else who would be interested in that role, we're certainly open to people expressing their interest. Excellent. Thank you. Are there any other expressions of interest? Can I say that it is unanimous that we are both nominating and accepting Vika by acclamation? And thank you. I hope you know what you've gotten yourself into here. Okay, well, I'm certainly looking forward to working with you. In terms of, as I mentioned, I wanted to have a review of the documents that we've received, not in terms of a detailed review or a page flip, but just an acknowledgement that these are the documents that are available to the community at this point. I've asked a couple of, respectfully say this, long-timers, if they have anything else in their archives, and we have not seen anything else. There's nothing else. But these are the documents to date, stretching back till roughly December of 2004. And you can see, if you have the chance to review them, the ebb and the flow of this discussion.
There is something even prior to that, but that was not in the, if I recall right, there is stuff from the early 2000s that was prior to the CCNSO, and that was mainly out of center, and they proposed a financial contribution model based on the center model at the time. That's, yeah, maybe Keith, you were around at the time.
There were some documents from 2001, sent to Melbourne. But I think you're right, the data of everything that's related to the human part of the patient that draws probably the approaching starting point even though they're very important.
So just from the perspective of moving forward, I think that Keith raises a good point that in a sense 2004 is the appropriate starting point. And if we come to terms with that, then the documents that we have are the documents. We have all of the artifacts associated with this discussion.
That was the initial documentation. There is follow-up, but that's on the ICANN website. I didn't have the time yet to get them, but that's the overview of the financial contributions of the CCTLD community over the last couple of years. And that it's easily found on the ICANN website, but it's based on the model used at the time, and there is an increase in it.
But those you're referring to are more just a reflection of the facts as opposed to the thinking to get there. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, the other thing, just to remind people of that point, is you can go to the ICANN website, and you can see what all the various CCs have paid over the past number of years. To give you a sense of that, and I think there were some links in the original email that support there directed you to that place. So, just in reviewing them, there's certainly some material here, but it's not particularly robust in terms of providing clear direction as to where to go. It certainly acknowledges the issue, and there was thinking that went on in the creation of these documents. But fundamentally, I think they'll help inform, but they're not directive in terms of really setting our path. That would be my fundamental takeaway at this point from the documents as I've read them. So just to give us a sense of one particular model, and again, I'd like to preface it by saying the goal here was not to say this is the suggested model or path, but merely to get us thinking about possible models as part of the discussion as we go into this longer-term discussion. And Peter had volunteered this, and I thought it would be a great way to get started, just to see what one member-based organization does in terms of how they fund their model. And I think Peter said probably in about 10 minutes at the most. Since we have an abbreviated meeting, we do have some work to do after this. So with that, unless there's any other questions or comments, I will turn it over to Peter, who will walk us through how Center does it.
apologies for this technical hiccup. Okay, I discussed with Byron on whether it makes any sense to present this model. And I'll come back to that, this is just a model for a somewhat different organization than the CCNSO, but maybe we can use some of the principles in our discussions and look a bit at how we at Centre look at the details of the funding of our organization, where it comes from, and why I believe that it works, and this is confirmed by what I hear from my members. So yes, very briefly, because it's actually quite relevant in the discussion, we only have 50 members, so that's about less than half than what the CCNSO has, 50 full members. We have also associate members. They pay a small amount, up to 2,500 euros, and we have observers who can sit in our meetings and participate in discussions for free. With that, we fund a secretariat with four people. Our total budget is about 700,000 euros, and that includes everything. Organizing the meetings, travel, etc. So again, we're not the CCNSO, and the CCNSO is not Centre. Why is that difference important? I see ourselves as a platform, but I see ourselves as well as a service provider, which means that we start from the quid pro quo position. Members do pay us a membership fee, but they expect services in return from that. I think that's something fundamentally different from the CCNSO, where there is no service level agreement, where apart from the strategic plan and some of the CCNSO parts that fit into that strategic plan, there is basically no promise to the participants in the CCNSO or the CCTLD participants in ICANN without their participation in the CCNSO. So as I mentioned, 700,000 euros is our yearly budget. Another very important difference is we make clear that when you want to become a member, you're expected to pay a membership fee. And historically, this is a completely different situation from the CCNSO, where people have been encouraged to join with the explicit promise that there would never be any membership fee required from them. That said, when members ask for their fee to be waived and they come up with good argumentations, then it has been waived in every single case where it has been asked. A very important thing where I think CCNSO, ICANN contributions and Centre membership fee are in parallel is that it's completely voluntary when it comes to the choice of your fee band. We have seven different fee bands. The lowest fee band is 2,500 euros. The highest fee band is 45,000 euros. We link the membership fee to the budget and to the strategic plan, which is something I think that ICANN could definitely improve on. What does this mean? That in the last 5 years, we have actually never asked for the full membership fee to be paid. We've always been able to give members reductions because based on the strategic plan and the budgets that went hand in hand with that strategic plan, we found out that we didn't need that amount of money. So we were able to give members a significant reduction. I think the highest was 20%. How do members select their fee band? Again, voluntary. They look at their peers. Sometimes they ask us for support in finding the right fee vendors for them. And lastly, and for me most importantly, they look at the return they get for that fee band, for that membership fee that they're paying. Practically, we have internally assessed the financial value of all the services that we're providing. And again, we're providing the service, the same service to every single member, whether it's paying 2,500 or 45,000 euros. And in total, that the financial value of the service that we provide will range between 30 and 40,000 euros depending on the amount of interactivity from the member. The more you participate, the more you get back in return from it. So for most members, it would be fairly easy to argue with their own boards in September or October, whenever they're drafting up the budget for the next year, that they're voluntary paying 35,000 euros to Centre because that's what they're getting back from us. The only difference in the return that members get based on the amount of money that they're paying us is we work with weighted voting on all financial issues. And that can be budgets, that can be waiving of a membership fee. So everything that's related to financial issues has weighted voting. Is that important? Well, actually it is not, because most of the votes are basically unanimously supported. So that small difference, that small advantage that you get in getting a higher weight for your vote is not that important. So just how it looks in statistics, we spread, and I've removed the first fee event here, so the 2,500 euros. We have about, roughly speaking, I think just under 20 members that are paying 2,500 euros. So this is how it spreads across the membership. This is based on a number of domain names. To be absolutely clear, this is not the only criterion that members use, but it's definitely one of the guiding principles. Number of employees is another one. Some compare their country's populations to find out where they actually fit into that table, etc. So this is just one, but it shows that this is one that's probably followed most consistently if you look at the numbers below. So the numbers below indicate the fee band in which they're in, and there you see that there are only a couple that are not fitting into the group of fee bands that you would expect them to be in. Looking at the stability of the organization, for us it's pretty important to make sure that we're not too much dependent on a handful of members. And so we have a healthy spread where the highest paying members in total only bring in just over 30% of our revenue. I think that's basically it. That's basically it. Maybe just one more addition to that and food for thought. Why I think this works for Centre and why some of the principles could be translated to anything that CCNSO or ICANN is planning to come up with. I think there are three important elements. First of all, it's voluntary. That means that people can make their own assessment on the true value of what we're offering and the true value of their contribution to the organization as such. Secondly, it is and it always should be based on the underlying service. The moment that it's not, you risk that your contributions can change or can vary too much from year to year. And thirdly, and this is where I personally think that the weaknesses in the ICANN approach, members pay us their membership fee because that's what they agreed to fund the strategic plan for. So all these discussions, in my view, should always be looked at in the following order. First, you agree with the group on what the strategic plan will be and how what particular processes will fit will fit into that strategic plan. Then you come up with a budget And then you'd get agreement before you start asking for financial contributions. You get agreement on how that budget will actually be filled in. And since that is our approach, I have, from experience, the last 5 years, I have seen that this works. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Peter. So clearly a different organization, but I think, as Peter says, there are some threads and some interesting ideas that would form part of our discussion. I mean, just listening to it right now, I mean, clearly voluntary, the fact that there are fee bans, that fees can be waived by agreement, that there is some linkage depending on how much is paid to certain specific kinds of outcomes. All of those are interesting issues that may have a part in the discussion as we go forward. So thanks very much, Peter. I would like to hear from the other regional organizations in terms of how they do it as we go forward with this process. I think since we've had to rejig the schedule to accommodate ACRM, unfortunately we're not going to be able to do it right now, but I would look to Eric and the other regional reps to give us a sense of how they do it and see if there are any elements that would be of value for this organization. So I would like to skip down to item number 6, which is really fleshed out in more detail than the elements below, starting with finance working groups, semicolon. And that really is to establish the process of how we're going to go forward with this working group. As we talked about in Cartagena, this is not a working group that's probably going to be wrapped up in the next one or two meetings. So we need to make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of how we go forward and have a process. I want to acknowledge the work of the Dell Redell group having lurked on the mailing list there. I was very impressed with how a very broad and divergent set of views were brought together over time in a reasonable and respectful way to produce a very solid output in what was a very tough issue. So seeing the good work done there, I wasn't afraid to go out and maybe copy some of it or at least take a page from it. Well, if I looked at the first few emails when you came out of the gate, I never would have concluded, or I never would have guessed the very civilized and fruitful conclusion. So, yes, anyway, not that we have that particular situation here, but clearly there's going to be a range of views, not only within the working group, but certainly within the community that we're going to have to take into account. Anyway, with that, I just wanted to, and trying to respect time, although we have been compressed as a result of external factors, want to come to some conclusion in terms of the path forward process and general working method. So if we look at bullets 1 and 2, in a sense, we've covered 2, and the discussion will be covering number 1. Reviewing the materials. We've acknowledged that I believe that we have all the materials available to us in terms of the artifacts. I would like to suggest that between here and Singapore that we go through them in detail and start to surface any issues, any very specific issues. And I've already heard a range just from people providing feedback to me. I mean, even within the CC community, you know, I've heard points of view from, you know, we should just pay our fair share, full stop, to much more what I would call fundamentalist interpretations, which is, what's the price of IANA? And I might be willing to pay my share of that, and that's about it. And a whole bunch of gradations in between, not the least of which is, what's a contribution? Is it just cash? Are there other elements that comprise a contribution? If I send my staff to help, I can do something. Is that a contribution that should be acknowledged? So just the definitions of a word like contribution, I think, will require some investigation at that point 4. So ideally what I would like to get to as we move forward and setting ICANN meetings as particular waypoints is as we come to a particular ICANN meeting, having a set of issues that we can then discuss at the face-to-face meetings and parse through. And once we've, I think, surfaced most or many issues, then also start to look towards what are some of the potential models. Because there are certainly going to be a number of different models that we can approach. And then, you know, the end output is making this group, making recommendations to the CCNSO on all of the specific issues that we surface, as well as potential models. And that could include coming forward with multiple models that are solid and should be considered, and bringing those forward to the CCNSO for further discussion. So in terms of what I believe that this working group should be trying to put forward as an end output, is exactly that. Are there any comments or questions at this time? So just going forward, I mean, clearly ICANN meetings will be particular goalposts as we move towards Singapore and beyond. I believe we need to start with surfacing as many of the issues as we can come up with. And fundamentally, I think from a working method point of view, much of this will be done off of a mailing list. However, we're going to need to have relatively regular calls. And when I say that, I don't mean on a weekly basis regular, but regularized so that in a big working group, people have as much lead time as possible, and we're doing them on regular intervals. So in the early days, my suggestion would be probably about every 6 weeks. Does that make, can people accommodate that? Because I know many people here are on multiple groups, so we need to be realistic, and I don't want people to overcommit. I mean, if it needs to be longer durations, we can do that, but I think to get going, so Bart makes the point that that would mean two calls before Singapore. I mean, maybe right in the early going, we need a third one before Singapore. I think it's tough to have more than that between here and there, but on a longer-term, ongoing basis. I mean, are there any comments on that? Can people accommodate that? Is that outside the realm of reasonable? Vika?
I think, yeah, that could be accommodated. Aware of a scenario where we start too slow and then it takes too long. I think to set a six week interval for a meeting with a good basis, we'll see if we go on, if we need less, then we can make a decision.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's it's putting a marker down, but if we find we need to do it more regularly, then we can have that conversation or vice versa. So I'd like to put that as a stake in the ground, though between in Singapore, in order to really get things rolling, we may need a third call. So what I would ask is that each and every one of us review the documents in detail, review the documents that we have in detail, and begin to compile a list individually of all of the issues that you believe you see in there, and others that you would like to surface for this working group to consider. And before we get into models, let's just focus on what we believe some of the elements and issues around this discussion are. Then we can consolidate and aggregate them into fundamentally a single issue list, and begin to work through some of them. And then after Singapore, or perhaps even after the next meeting, then we can start to introduce the notion of models. Given that this is a big working group, and there will be a range of issues and a range of models, I would also suggest that we are very likely to divide this working group into some subgroups and let people go off with particular tasks, particular models to wrestle with. I think it was something that worked well in the SOP, where particular, you know, defined teams were given defined subjects and they went away and worked on them and then came back to the working group.
Just an observation, really. With the CCNSO wiki space, will all these documents be fed into a single place where we can access them, or has it already been done? The only thing I've seen has been email links, and sometimes they're a bit hard to...
They have to. I mean, it's my fault it hasn't been done yet. It will be, yeah. And I think just for this working group, we will use a new system which is easily or more easily to access than the old social text. It's Confluence. So you can use that as well for particular discussions and upload your own documents, etc.
Okay. I know this is a little bit more abbreviated meeting than we'd hoped for initially, but are there any final comments or suggestions in terms of just the initial process by which we go forward? Dika?
In terms of models, do we only want to look within ICANN, or should we consider a scenario which, and of course, will be very time-consuming, but shouldn't we also consider a scenario where we could look outside ICANN?
I think... my personal opinion is that we absolutely would want to look outside of ICANN. ICANN does not have ownership of member-driven organizations, and that hopefully, I'm sure there are other good models for member-driven organizations and how they responsibly and reasonably fund themselves. So I think that's a great point, Vika, and we definitely need to look at any reasonable model. So, given that we're now 8 minutes past our theoretical 3:30 deadline, I think as planned, we're going to have a joint SOP and Finance Working Group meeting, Roloff being the chair of the SOP. And for the benefit of our working group, I also sit in the SOP, as some of you do here. And Kurt was in discussing the CCNSO's feedback via the SOP into the strategic planning process and made the comment that it was without a doubt the best feedback of any constituency group in all of ICANN. So I thought that was a testament to Roloff and his team's good work here. So hopefully we can continue that. Hopefully we can continue that tradition here, which I said should be pretty easy since nobody else has a finance working group. So we can be the best, too. Anyway, the joint meeting was really around, as Roloff and I talked about it a little bit, was really around trying to make sure that we leverage the efforts of both working groups and, in a sense, recognizing, and not to put words in Roloff's mouth here, but the SOP is looking at how the money is being spent right now, how it's being parsed, and what strategic objectives are of particular import to the CC community, and then looking at how the money is spent against those. And I think that provides a great jumping off point, in a sense, for the finance working group to use that not as the only, but certainly some very good input in terms of, well, if those are the things we have acknowledged are important to the community, it therefore makes sense that those are the things that we are likely to consider being of value to contribute to or against. And not that there's a direct perfect overlay of one to the other, but certainly it would make sense that the SOP's work would significantly inform the finance working group's work, or at least provide a real jumping off point. And that, I think, is probably sets the stage for how we saw some of the interaction between the two groups, but I think we're very open to thinking about or hearing other ideas and opportunities for each of the groups to benefit from the other's work. Roloff, do you have any other comment or input?
Well, I think you covered it fair enough, but
you are in the SOP working group and I am, by our roles, we are in each other's working groups. And I think that's why from time to time we should have joint sessions to make sure that it's not only the two chairs that interact, but that the whole group knows what the other group is doing. And like you said, part of the work that your working group is doing is relevant for SOP and vice versa. So, yeah. And one other thing that we... So I think it's important that we determine how we divide the work that we do and how we cover the areas that overlap. And since we will have a joint session within the CCNSO on Tuesday, and I think that will be the occasion every CCNSO meeting, or at least twice a year, I think it's also a good opportunity to determine, or discuss at least, how we run that session.
Is there any feedback or any suggestions in terms of how we could maximize the benefit of the two working groups working together, or any issues that we should jointly be covering but from the different perspectives? Any comments or feedback on that? Peter?
Referring to a conversation we had earlier in the first section of the SOP group, some of the comments that we made to the strategic plan were a few considered to be too much about the financial aspects of it. The fact that people raise it apparently mean that those people still see the link between the SOP and the issues, despite the fact that they might, in stricter sense, and not be well placed to put it into our comments for the strategic plan. And maybe there's a role for the finance working group then to make sure that these ideas are not lost. So earlier you referred to some specific comments on the plan that would not fit into our comments since they belong to the finance area. And then that could be something that is worth picking up by the financing group.
My point was more that the strategic plan is about strategy and not about finance. And if we have comments on the financial aspect, that's probably with regard to the annual operational plan. So it's not... I didn't mean that it was not our working group that should make that kind of comment. But what I meant was that it was not the best place to do it as a comment on the strategic plan. It would be better to comment on the operational plan, the finances thereof. That was more the point. But there's definitely an interaction on that particular field, yeah.
I think the point, too, is relevant. And I heard many times, working in the SOP, why don't we pick up that ball from the SOP, which is one of the catalysts for creating the finance working group. But certainly any feedback that comes into the SOP, we wouldn't want to lose that, and that it should, if it's relevant to the finance discussion, be clearly passed on. Now, that said, two of the main proponents for that from the ICANN staff point of view are no longer with us, so that may that drumbeat may be somewhat less at this point. But I certainly agree that any of those questions or concerns, or ideally feedback and ideas, should not be lost if they go through the SOP and find their way to the finance working group. Are there any other thoughts on how we can best utilize the efforts of the two working groups, or suggestions, or areas where we should, thoughts on making sure that we don't overlap our work? No? No further comments? Leslie, I know I could count on you.
Do you know, I now know there's nothing worse than chairing a meeting where nobody says anything. So I kind of feel as though I ought to come in. I was just going to make a practical suggestion that obviously liaison between the chairs will be essential to that. And perhaps periodically the two groups could get together for a half hour or so just to exchange where we both are, because obviously there are real strong connections between the strategic plan and the financial implications of the strategic plan, which then end up in bills, and the operations plan as well. And I think if we treat them as totally separate items, we're missing a trick somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very good point. Not that each of the groups shouldn't be doing their own work as the group sees fit, but clearly it would be a missed opportunity if we take divergent paths. And on the one hand, the SOP saying this is what's important and we should be doing this, and the finance working group saying, you know, we as a community have absolutely no interest in paying for this or being part of paying for this. So I think that's a very good point that we want to make sure at some point in the process that we're relatively speaking singing from the same song sheet, or at least reinforcing each other's points of view, or at the very least not wildly diverging from each other's point of view.
I think that's crucial. Otherwise, we just weaken the position of the CC and the SOPs of the ICANN. So, yeah.
Yes. The last thing we want is a divide and conquer environment set up by us.
They don't even have to abuse the fact that we have different positions. But, I mean, it's very difficult to draw a conclusion if the same organization or supporting organization has two different positions on the same subject. I mean, pick your choice or do nothing.
Yeah, logically it should flow that if as a group we believe one particular strategy is important, that the other group will believe that it's appropriate to somehow finance it. Are there any other comments or suggestions at this point? Please, you look like you're dying to say something. Okay.
I find it very nice to meet to have the joint meetings while we are here at the ICANN meetings, and then we have our phone meetings. So I'll support that. But what I think is that we could have a point on the agenda reminding what is important for the SOP group to know that we're doing, and vice versa. So you could have it as a part of the agenda automatically.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. There's just a regular agenda item on highlights of what the other working group is focused on, working on. That makes sense to me. Any other comments? Roloff, would you like to add anything? Okay. Well, then maybe with approximately 9 minutes before we see Akram, maybe I'd suggest we'll take a 9-minute break, 8-minute break, and be back here ready to go promptly for 4 after Roloff says something.
Well, I would suggest let's see if from the group or maybe you yourself have any suggestions on how we run the session on Tuesday. We can either determine it between the two of us before Tuesday, or we can ask the group if they have input.
Byron, we can use these 3 minutes to talking about what is the LRTLD model of finance, if you like.
Sure. Are there any other issues that people want to raise around what Roloff has just spoken to? There will be a joint session in the at the CCNSO meeting. If there are any issues to surface there, or any comments, otherwise Roloff and I will we'll sort it out. Yeah, it does give you still some time to think it through and send us an email or talk to us in the hall. Sure, Eric, if you want to go ad lib and give us a quick overview, absolutely.
Thanks. I'm not prepared, so I want to be very clear and quickly first. We have a general budget about $350,000, that is less than center. we have 34 members, 27 full members, and 7 affiliates. Our membership fees are divided in bands, in fee bands, but it's related with a quantity of domain names, and it's a minimum that if you have, for example, 5,000 domain names, you pay some quantity, and that is a minimum quantity that you need to pay. So, in theory, it's voluntary, but a position that you have to have a fee, but it's the minimum that you request. But only 2/3 parts of our budget are for fees. Another 1/3 part is for cooperation directly, support from another organization like ISOC, like ICANN, like governmental office, and half part in sponsors, in special for our workshops. All our workshops are sponsored. So that means that we get funds, not directly from the members. We get funds from another ways, regional organization, global, but related to Latin America too. And finally, the decision of pass the bands is not exactly in the CCTLD. It's when you pass the quantity of your domain names, you change your band directly. Good idea maybe to have in any kind of organization is not put all the budget only in the fees, because not always the CCTLDs can pay on the time with the fees, or they want to pay in parts, for example. Also for that, we have 1/3 part of our budget focus in other kind of ways to get money. One of the proposals for the next strategic plan is get found directly to server at 3rd persons. In this case, some of our workshop will be specialized, for example, in legal aspects, and try to get found from lawyers from the region through like a training in dispute resolution, for example. That is an issue interesting for our region. So this is probably in the next strategic plan that we will finish in 2 weeks. This is our way that we have our finance in the region.
Great, thanks very much. So just to be clear, it's a much more what I would call a direct drive model in terms of you have X domains, you fall into this band, you pay X. So it's much more...
You pay this minimum. You can pay more if you like.
It's really like an equation driven.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And how's the response to what I would call a more rigid structure or equation driven model?
For some years before I get involved, like general manager, the fees don't be paid for different reasons. When we started 3 years ago, we take all the bus debts and all pay. So the quantity of money that we don't get each year is only 5% that pass of moratorium that pass to the next year. So it's very low. Everybody pay. What get the membership with this payment? First, fellowships, in special for the trainers. The payment of the team for receive information, receive news, also get researcher, and also we get different kind of communities inside CCTLDs to try to put them in a continuous capacity building process.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other input?
Yes, I'd like to bring to your attention that while that program seems to be very well taken, and by that I mean that if you are to put some kind of a number based on the number of registrations that you make, we need to be aware that sometimes registries have programs in which they give away domain names. So how do we calculate that has to be taken in consideration. For example, I know that that PK gives away domain names, that PR gives domain names to professors, students, to non-for-profit organizations. And so it is possible that you may see a number X, of domain names that we have registered, but how many of those domain names are actually paying is something that we need to keep in consideration. So if we were to consider that that as a model, then we should make the distinction that if we are going to assign a number of the, a contribution based on domain name registrations, then it should be on paying domain name registrations rather than just the total number of registrations. That's my input.
So, I mean, that's certainly good input, and to me that would be, when we talk about surfacing issues, that would be, in a sense, a perfect issue to surface. Absolutely, thank you. Any final comments? All right, well, with that, I'll take the liberty on our behalf of closing this first joint session. Thank you very much. And we still have 2 minutes. We'll see if I'm actually on time.
I don't know how we best approach. Did you prepare something to present? Do you want to give us an overview of the framework, or we start with our questions and remarks straight away? I don't know if there are additional requests, but maybe you can just start us off with a quick overview of especially the changes compared to last year's operational plan, if you have any additions or changes, and then we can have a discussion and questions. I got a suggestion from Chris, which is probably a good one, and that is to give you a brief overview of what the purpose of this meeting is. We have two working groups from the CCNSO here present. One is the Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group, which I'm chairing. I think it's about half of the people who are in this room. And the purpose of that working group is to involve the CCNSO membership more in the process of operational planning and the strategic planning of ICANN. So we do two things. We provide comments directly to ICANN on both the strategic plan and the operational plans, but we submit those comments to the CCNSO membership as well. And we have sessions during our CCNSO meetings that take place during ICANN meetings, where we exchange with the rest of the membership on either the strategic plan, which is then in progress, or the operational plan as is now, so that we can both provide our comments to the membership and help them to formulate, if they want to, their individual organization's comments, or we can get feedback, which we can then use again in the comments that we supply to ICANN on either the operational plan or the strategic plan. And maybe, Byron, you can briefly explain what your working group is about, and then we can start up.
Sure. So the finance working group is fundamentally organized to examine the question of what CC contributions should look like, potentially really examine the history. How do we get here? What are the issues and possible models or frameworks around which the CC community in general can approach the contributions and voluntary contributions to ICANN, and to try to find a way, a path forward that respects all of the different positions and perspectives of the CC communities, while acknowledging that there's certainly a requirement, or at least a moral obligation, to make contributions to ICANN.
So what we'll go over through is a slide presentation, which we will be presenting during Monday's public forum, that basically gives a status update on where we are with the framework, as well as the SOIC and stakeholder group additional scenario, additional budget requests. The enhanced approach that we're pushing for the budget is to again have engage in more active and earlier input from all the stakeholder groups, so that they all have a voice in the budget, which is has been something that's been.
How close to the computer is it?
Okay, let me go this way. Okay, I apologize for that. So again, to honor our commitment to obtaining active and more earlier input from the communities, one of the enhancements we're making is looking at the budget from a different perspective. We are looking at breaking out our total operating expense budget into what we call core operations, fixed and admin, versus project-specific costs. As you can see here, there is some carryover on the new GTLD, which we'll cover in a minute. But that's the overall revised budget view that we're tacking on. On the budget framework, as some of you may have seen, we have two scenarios. One assuming that the new GTLD program will launch sometime in fiscal year 12, and the first scenario on the left assuming that there will be no new GTLD launch program. On the revenue framework, as you notice, we've included some information for comparative purposes. Got the budget, the current year forecast, as well as the fiscal year 12 framework. What I've also included below the line is new GTLD application fees of $92.5 million. Again, that is with the assumption of a new GTL launch in fiscal year 12. On the operating expense framework, again, for comparative purposes, and as most of you may have seen, again, on the framework that was posted for public comments, you can see the information, how it's trending. And now with this view that we're moving to in terms of core operations versus project versus new GTLD, this is how the operations the expense operating budget is laid out, again, assuming no new GTLD launch, which is $69.8 million, including the $1.5 million contingency. These are some of the activities and initiatives and projects that are covered in the core operations. IANA function, ICANN public meeting support, AC and SO and SG support. And some of the initiatives and projects that are included in the project budget are up above: IANA, DNSSEC, ID invariant, DNS measurement and metrics. Now, assuming that there will actually be a new GTLD launch, which is a framework on the right-hand side of the previous slide, there's a certain level of assumptions that we've made to be able to capture the greatest possible amount of expenses for contingency purposes. So the expense framework, assuming the new GTLD launch, assumes that the board approves the launch of the communication plan during the Silicon Valley meeting, that the first applications are accepted 4 months after the communication plan has begun,
and assuming an initial phase of 500 applications at 185. So now this is the same view that we had previously, but now within GTLD launch, and how core operations and projects, as well as the new GTLD program, what the expense budget would be. These are some of the steps, some of the projects and initiatives that the new GTLD application processing would intake, from beginning with applicant registration all the way out to application support, and this is for informational purposes. So how to engage? First and foremost, providing a comment on the operating plan and budget via our website, the public comment page, as well as some of you may have seen the SOEC and SG additional budget requests for prioritization. And the next step will be additional community consultations with ICANN staff to provide more information to obtain more analysis on these projects. The initial public comment period on the framework will close on the 4th of April. There will be more detailed analysis to be performed on UGTLD for posting of the updated draft budget by the 17th of May. Final consultations happening in the June meeting.
Thank you very much for having us here, and thank you for attending the meeting. What we went through is in the plan as well as the way we're looking at the budget for FY12. We have the challenge of having to do two budgets, one if the plan, if the new GTLD launches, and one if the new GTLD does not launch and gets postponed over FY12. So there are a lot of assumptions in this in the presentation. Not the least of them is, at what point do we get approval to launch the new GTLD? So there is a lot of moving numbers with the new GTLD there. The new process that we've done is that we started the framework earlier. We have opened up the opportunities for SOs and ACs to ask for additional support, whether it's in the standard way of doing things, which is additional meetings, some more staff support for the meetings, as in secretariat or additional functions. And these are what we would call standard operating requests. And then additional support for specific functions like a study or something else that you feel like is needed to help keep the work that you're doing moving on. So these special requests, we collected a lot of them from a lot of the SOs and ACs. I don't think we've received anything from the CCNSO, did we? No. So this is still open. We can still accept, actually, additional requests. And what we will do is we will put these requests as part of the framework for public comment, and then as we go from the framework to the draft budget, we will include these in the draft, and then also we will continue with the public comment period, and then we will also include a final budget proposal for FY12 at the when's the submission press? Of the final
in the June meeting, June 20th.
In June, yes. Yeah. So basically, this is an opportunity for the SOs and ACs to participate in the budget planning and let us know what they think we should be also allocating and spending funds on. That's in addition to the public comment on the budget itself, which means, you know, you can still go comment on the entire budget and, you know, whatever we're spending. But there is an area now, a specific form that you can put together to request funds for specific activities that you want to do to help, you know, make policy or promote additional initiatives that will promote the ICANN strategic initiatives. Okay. Having said that, I know that Baron wants me to talk about the contributions that the CCDLDs could actually help with on ICANN. I think that the last time I was here, I talked a little bit about how I look at the financial model. And we, you know, we have basically a core, there is a core function in ICANN. So like any company, you have a core function that you need to be able to run a company, which means you have finance, you have HR, you have IT, you have, and these have, you know, these are the skeleton of a company that needs to be there for the company to operate. And I like to think of this as a chassis of a computer, PC in particular, where you have blades that you can add to it, and these blades I would call projects. So if you put the chassis and you have the chassis running, then you can get additional initiatives and have these, you know, blades go in, and each blade will cost you a lot less than having a full computer to run that blade. So so that's the, you know, framework that I like to think of how I can run. And so anytime that we have an additional initiative or a new group that is being formed or you know, helping ICANN do its work, then the cost of adding that is a lot less than putting this together as a separate company or initiative, if you want. So we are working on getting a new financial system in place. We have a schedule of going live with the first phase of the system in July 1st. So that will allow us to, on the fiscal year boundary from FY11 to FY12, and move the financials to the new system. There will be some data migration from old system to the new system that will take a little bit longer than that to have it ready, but that will allow us to actually give a lot more information on our financials than we currently have the ability to do. As you all know, you've been struggling with asking for where things are and, you know, putting the data in one format or another, and we've been the financial team has always struggled to give you that data. And the reason for this is that we have a very antiquated system that is not very and I would say it's actually, the ledger is not very in tune to provide cost accounting, if you want. So now with the new system, we will be able to do a much better cost accounting model, and we'll be able to cut and slice the data any way we want to, and that will allow us to be a lot more transparent in our reporting. So that will be we'll be moving to that in July 1st, and that will allow us to give you a lot more visibility and answer your questions as you need. Now, for the CC contributions, I think that, you know, as I mentioned last time we met, I think that the Internet is a global thing that we all enjoy and we all participate in, and we encourage each one of the CCTLDs to contribute to the cause of keeping the Internet global and accessible to everybody. I don't want to provide a mechanism for every CCTLD to say, you know, to tell you how much you should contribute. That's not our place to say that. But, you know, a good way, for example, is to compare to other CCTLDs and say, you know, if this CCTLD that has this much revenue and this much contribution is helping this much for ICANN, maybe I should help proportionally or something like that.
Just as a point of a clarification, I think everyone here contributes to keeping the internet global and accessible to everyone.
Agreed.
But you seem to make a direct link between that and contributing financially to ICANN, or did I misunderstand you there?
Am I making a direct contribution? No. What I'm saying is that one of ICANN's goals is, or the reason for ICANN is to help the internet remain global and accessible. And so from that perspective, when you help ICANN, you're helping keeping the internet globe, right? I mean, I'm not saying that we're the only ones doing that, but I'm saying that we are assisting in doing that.
It might be slightly better put as keeping the part of the governance of the internet, or the DNS rather,
global
DNS rather than the internet,
yeah.
There's a degree of sensitivity, Akram,
mm-hmm.
With CCTLDs on the issue of this, simply because we all effectively do a whole heap to make it work anyway.
Agreed.
At our own, you know, at costs in our own entity. But I think the principle of if you're talking about specifically the multi-state, the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model of governance of the DNS, that's fine, but not actually keeping the internet global, because it's not the same thing. Does that make world? Is that yeah?
Okay.
So I
would like to you tell me what we can do to help. And how we can actually work together to improve the working relationships, and as well as assist in improving the contribution that the ICANN staff can help for your particular CCTLD or in general to the entire community. So.
Thank you, Akram. Chris.
Thank you, Rolf. Thanks, guys, for coming. I have a couple of thoughts and questions. One of the reasons for this meeting is that we obviously want to comment on the ops plan, and it's the SOP working group's job to do that. So, you know, any information is gratefully received. I have a couple of questions on that. I'd hazard a guess that I could be wrong here, but I'd hazard a guess that when it comes to your requests for new activities form, that you've had most of those from the ALAC. So I could be wrong, but I suspect that's the case. Now, my question is, would, on this particular issue, is it open to a CCTLD to put in a request, or are you, we're talking about the effectively the CCNSO putting in a request? You're talking about the CCNSO. Okay, cool. Just want to check that. Secondly, a question which may be in the full plan, and I apologize if I'm just missing it. Does the current budget or the new upcoming budget and operations plan make a provision for the costs of implementing ATRT recommendations?
Yes, this will be in the plan. We've already estimated the ATRT implementation, except for the one item that was in there, which is the board compensation. We haven't estimated that because the board has not actually approached that. But other than this, we've estimated all the other 26 items in there, and we've put some of the cost, very minimal cost, in this year. Because we have only 3 months left in the year. But as the board reviews all of these, they will be in the next in the FY12 budget, and we will be reviewing that as part of the budget.
I just have one more comment, which is less to do with the operational plan and more to do with the other working group, the finance working group, is going to be trying to work out contribution mechanisms and so on. You said, tell us what the CCNSO needs to do that. And I just make a couple of simple points. I get the way of budgeting with the core things, the things that, and you and I have talked about this, the things that are going to be there as a cost no matter what. So, there are costs of running ICANN that are irrespective of everything else you have to do. Board support would be a simple example of that. If you're going to have a board, you've got to support your board. I mean, you can talk about the quantum, but fundamentally. The issue for the CC is there's a fundamental mismatch between the difference between the contracted parties who pay you a guaranteed amount of money and the CCTLDs who are effectively would continue to make voluntary payments. And there's a real challenge in trying to put the CCTLD contributions towards what you call the core, because you've got no guarantee you're going to get them. So you can only, it seems to me, from a budgeting point of view, operate on the basis that your core, as you call it, is covered by effectively guaranteed funds. I mean, presuming you wouldn't suggest that your core would be covered by new GTLD payments. I know there's an argument about the fact that it's break-even and all that, but ignoring that, because you don't know how much you're going to get. So there is a problem in talking to the CCs about budget and contribution when you are, and it's perfectly understandable that you are basically dealing with, from a business footing, with your contracted parties and the core. So what I think we probably will need is some flexibility around the way that the numbers look to us, and maybe some extra work around the way that the numbers look, so that we can come to terms with what we should be paying, rather than simple, straightforward, well, just make a contribution to the core. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Chris. And as I, as we discussed earlier, we will continue to provide the data as we provided it before for you, and we are willing to, work with you on any other format for at least this current year, while we get to the new system, which hopefully will allow us to give you any kind of look on the financial data that will help you understand where the spending is happening, and so that it will give you a better understanding of why or justification in your mind why you should be volunteering some funds to help the funding of certain initiatives. That said, I think that also for this year, we will continue to send you the letters that we've been sending before, and we will use history as basically the request to support ICANN, basically.
Okay.
Sorry. Thanks for the update. As somebody who's kind of been around for a while, I kind of have a familiar sense of deja vu here. With your predecessors, indeed the pre-Ken person, whose name I've completely forgotten now, I remember saying, I really sympathize with you moving to a new financial system because we've just done that at Nominet. And when you've done that, can you let us have some more information about the cost drivers for CCs? And that took quite a while for that to eventually come through, and kind of we're back there again. So I think the thing that we're missing is the better information as to what drives CC costs, and we look forward to working with you on that with your new financial system. I would like to anticipate that you won't be getting requests for more expenditure from CCs. And people thought I was joking about this at the last meeting, but I wasn't. I think we would like to see some cost reductions. And the staff that work for CCs do a great job. and the staff, the ICANN staff, support us, do a great job. But we see continually spiraling costs. And like anybody who works with finance, there is a concern about how those can be funded.
Yes, I appreciate what you've said. And actually, Leslie, that's why I prefaced that July 1st we will go into the new financial system. That new financial system will have zero data in it when we switch to it, but we will have some data migration that will happen after that. And then, so from the data structure, we will be able to provide some history on the prior year after the data migration, and then it will take a full year, the FY12, the entire FY12 to have a full data in the financial system that we will be able to report on. And I think that if we can sit down and agree on what are the expenses that you feel are helping the CCs, we can actually do the manual work to, cut it out of the current data and provide that. So I don't have a problem with this. It's just that since it's manual, you have to be patient with us. But other than this, there is no reason why we couldn't do it manually. We might not be able to do the resolution down to the level because of that depends on the data structure that we use. But other than that, there's no reason for why we can't do it.
An estimated timeline for that? Because last time it took about 4 years.
So we will provide the same data set that you got last year for the FY10. We'll provide you with that, and at the end of FY11 we'll be able to do the same thing again. So we're not saying we're not going to provide you what you've had, what you've been receiving from us before. We will do the same thing.
Well, after fiscal year 11 is over, so sometime after June 30th, so sometime in July.
Okay.
Maybe I'm
confused. Is that okay, Chris?
What?
Because Mathieu has a question.
Thanks. Mathieu, I'm the CEO of AFNIC, manager of Dolifar, France. Thanks so much for the presentation. I actually have a question and a comment. The question would follow up on Leslie's comment, actually, is can supporting organization place requests for cost reduction arrears or cancellation of projects?
Absolutely. I think that the public comment period is definitely for that. I mean, you should be able to ask for any changes in the budget. The other one, which has a specific form, is for additional initiative requests or project requests that is on top of the existing budget. I forgot, I want to answer also Leslie's other question, that the spiraling cost, and we agree with you that our expenses are going up, and but also the workload is going up. The requests that are coming to ICANN from all different areas are growing. Our reviews are generating a lot of costs that we were not doing before. There are a lot of initiatives, and they're all actually visible, and that's requiring both more staff as well as additional work and studies that we are putting in place and we are paying for. Believe me, we would like to reduce the workload and reduce the expense. So that's definitely something we would like to look at. When I put my CFO and COO hat on, what we can do is we can streamline our processes and reduce our cost as in effectiveness and productivity. But what we get asked to do is really out of my control. It's really the community and the stakeholders that put the workload in front of us.
Thanks for this comment, because it's really introducing perfectly the point that I was trying to make in my comment, which is that I have difficulties grasping the relationship between the draft budgets and the strategic plan. What you are explaining to us is that basically the main driver is the increased workload, new processes, more requests. We've discussed the strategic plan with Kurt earlier. I don't see this. I don't see clearly that basically ICANN's model is driven by increased pressure from the outside, and that basically ICANN's challenge will be to make sure that it is able to process increased expectation from the outside and process more reviews and process more requests within IANA and so on and so forth. And what's striking, for instance, in the budget is that without new GTRDs, you're forecasting a deficit of $3 million, if I'm not mistaken, and an increase of $4 million, 35% or so, for travel and meetings. And this is not something, for instance, when I'm in front of my board, if I have a plus 35% on one line, and it's not in the strategic plan that it is our focus in the future, they say, well, come on, I'm not allocating 35% additional resources if it's not a strategic priority. So that's really what surprises me. And I think when we discuss how we can interact together, one aspect is consistency between the different stages where we interact, and that we should, I mean, be apparent in the budget between the strategic plan, the operational plan, and the budget. And we don't find the consistency in at this moment, and I think that's one of the challenges that I see ahead.
Yeah, I think that I appreciate your comment. I think that one way we need to go over the strategic plan and look at that and see, you know, what is in the strategic plan that's causing us to do more and therefore expend more funds. But just to give you an example, the board is under pressure to do a lot more documentation, do a lot more rationale, justification. That requires tools, more staff. So there are a lot of things that come out from an APRC.
Maybe it's the strategic plan that should be amended.
Uh-huh.
But if you are under a lot of pressure from the outside, then should be one of your strategic priorities to equip the board with more tools and documentation, and there should be something explaining in the strategic plan that there is this increased pressure and it's relevant, and ICANN is prepared to address it, and we'll put the appropriate resources in place because it's one of its strategic priorities for this and that reason. And currently I feel a sort of a discrepancy between the strategic plan's objectives, maintaining stability of the DNS, and a number of things. And there is, of course, a priority on core excellence, on operational excellence, but it seems like diluted. And if you look at the budget, there is a huge amount of additional resources allocated to processes and equipping the board and also $4 million on meetings and travel costs. And I have difficulties putting it in front of the strategic plan. Maybe it's a strategic plan to be that has to be more clear on those external pressures and how they impact ICANN. That's usually what a strategic plan is about. It's explaining how your environment is changing, what that means for your organization in a few years' time, and then how you're going to allocate resources.
I think it's a good point, Mathieu. But there's also in my feeling, the difficulty that the budget seems to be far more detailed than the outline of the operational plan. When I first saw it, I got the distinct impression that you must have more on paper already with regard to your operational plan than the framework you publish, because on the basis of that framework, it's impossible to make such a detailed budget. And that's why also I think for us it's difficult to see the relationship between the two, and especially to see the relationship between the budget, the operational plan, and the strategic plan. Because at this point, the operational plan's framework is still so at a high over level that it's difficult to link both with the strategic plan
and with the budget. But yeah, Eric. And then Chris, I think, or...
I have a question. In the budget proposal, and the proposal for the budget is talking about 500 requests to new GTLDs. Which is the plan B? What happens if not approved the new GTLDs process finally and don't receive that 500? It's a lot of money. Which is the plan B for the next year?
We actually showed two plans.
If I may follow up quickly, I had the same concern from a planning point of view. I don't know if there's any rationale or more rationale basis that I can that you can explain as the basis of assuming 500 applications. I'm usually been advised that when you set budgets, you try, or when you prepare business plan, you try and be conservative in your estimates. And 500 appears to me to be on the higher side of the number. And the concern is, if it is your plan B, you know, it may be substantially incorrect. I don't know, you may be well be very correct, but I think 500 may be sort of on the too much higher side of making an assumption.
And so just to answer your question, we had two budgets, one that actually talked about new GTLDs not launched in FY12, and another one that assumed that the new GTLDs will launch in FY12. So that is a plan A and plan B in the budget. And we could say we want to have, a plan for different timing in when the budget, the new GTLD gets launched, but we assumed that if we went from one extreme to the other and we set the two budgets that way, which meant that we assumed that the new GTLD will launch the earliest possible so that we can account as to as much expenses in FY12 as possible. So that's how we modeled the two. The 500 GTLD is actually a mid-range, so it's not a very conservative range, but it's not a very aggressive one. So we didn't say it's 5 GTLD and be very aggressive on, you know, nobody applies, or be very conservative and say, you know, a huge number of applications. Now, these numbers are socialized within the organization. We don't know how many applicants will be. There's no way for us to know, but we know of the ones that have been that have actually articulated their interest in applying, and there are more, you know, there are practically we know of over 100. There are rumors that, you know, some people are gonna, a single company might apply for X number of the UGTLD. So there is no way for us to know, but we gauged it between 0 and 1,000, and we took a middle number of 500. Will that happen? I mean, we don't know. And the way we're doing our work is we're not spending anything that is not a must spend in order for us to put the plan together. So we haven't spent any resources or any monies on hiring, deployment, or actually processing yet of applications. The only spend that we've done is on developing the process of accepting applications. So we're trying to be very cautious and very mindful of how we spend the money. Now, the reason we're saying, if you look at the budget, we planned it so that there is a four-month marketing campaign so that we get everybody to know that we are opening this up. So that's not only in North America, that only the North American area knows that this is happening and they can apply. So we have to do a lot of marketing and communication to actually get everybody to know that this is happening. That's one. And then that period is a four-month period. During that four-month period, we will bring the operations up. So as soon as the board tells us, you know, this is a go, then we have a plan to ramp up and get the implementations ready.
Chris?
While we're on the subject of new GTLDs, Akram. I may be mistaken, but my understanding is that the basis of the $185,000 fee is a cost recovery, right?
Sure.
And that includes costs already spent.
Sure.
So how do you account for the costs already spent money? When that money, because the costs have already been spent, haven't been borrowed, so you don't have to repay them to anybody. They've come out of, effectively, for want of a better term, cash flow. So what happens with the money that comes in for the costs already spent? Where is the money going to go? Because the costs you need to spend, you obviously need the money for that. But the costs already spent have been spent and accounted for and budgeted. So there's going to be a lump of money. So what happens to that?
So that remains to be decided by the community. I believe that the community will decide whether these funds will go into the reserve fund or whether these funds will be used to reduce the application fees or, you know, that will remain to be decided. We haven't actually decided that, but we know the amount that's been spent. We actually have posted this information. And when the applications come in and we have the funds, there are actually some of those funds that will go to offset the previous spend. There is some of the funds that will go to for risk, and they'll remain there for the new GTLD risk. And the rest of it is actually will go against the cost of processing the applications. After the first year, we will get a better feel on the cost of these applications, and you know, depending on that, we will address the second phase, the next phase, or the next year of the program. So.
Byron,
just a comment and then a question, and still. Speaking about the new GTLDs, I mean, if the estimate is anywhere near right, $92 million in new revenue next year, as somebody who runs a member-driven not-for-profit as well, I think we all need to be mindful. It's probably tied to one of Newton's laws of physics, but if the money is available, it will be spent. And you, of all people, we need to know that you have our best interest at heart, or the community's best interest at heart, in pushing back and saying no. Because if the money is available, projects will be found in order to spend it. And just because it's there doesn't mean we should add new projects, which I guess in a sense is just following on some of Matthew's comments. But the other one, going back more directly to the working group that I'm involved in, I'd like to start to tease out some more of your thinking on contributions. And you talked about core operations, and you know, philosophically I understand the point. However, of course, our particular SO is a little different than some of the others. We're non-contracted parties. We run our own country's environments, regardless of whether, in a sense, ICANN is here or not. And there are certainly many elements of what somebody would normally call core operations, you know, for example, legal. I would argue that this community requires very little in the way of legal spending. Non-contracted parties here, et cetera. So I just want to get an understanding of how you see core operations potentially being divvied up and how you would allocate for that. Because one of the concerns, of course, is if you go straight down that route, you end up in accounting philosophy battles of allocations, and that's just an endless spiral down.
Exactly.
So what is your view or vision for how we would get to reasonable accommodation there? And I guess starting to take the next steps, I hear the comments about core operations, but what does that mean to you and how do you see that playing out?
A very good question and very tough question to answer. I agree with you 100%. I don't like allocations. I think allocations are subjective and therefore, you know, create a lot more problems and questions than actually they provide answers. But it is also a fact that we, that the staff in ICANN is not a they're not lawyers as in the sense of a firm that will say, oh, you know, I thought about this client for half an hour, so I'm going to mark up half an hour for this client, and then, you know. So we don't have these mechanisms to say this is exactly what the cost of each each individual time is allocated to. And so, you know, the lack of having a system like this versus a timesheet system, if you want, presents a challenge on the allocation. Now, I think that at the same time, it has to be some kind of allocation of the finance team, some kind of allocation of the HR team that are supporting the staff, and you know, and that will have to be figured out and agreed upon. But you know, we can sit down and go over that. And I feel like it's the easiest way is to have an open book and say, this is what I'm spending on each one of these functions, and let's agree on something that you feel is fair allocation, maybe. And how we come to that has to be an agreement. It can't be it cannot be one way or the other, because either way, nobody, we won't be able to agree, and the numbers that we come out will be meaningless. If we want to do cost accounting, that I believe that's the only way to come to an agreement, is to say these are, you know, what we're spending on these areas, and that's how we believe, you know, the fair share is. Then maybe we can come to an agreement on that, whether it's fair or not. You know, that being said, I think that the reason I'm trying to put the projects as in separate bucket is to help least view these things in a black and white way, as much as possible, to put it in a black and white way. So that's my philosophy on this. You know, I'm new to the tension between the tension of the contribution, on the voluntary contribution, and the fact that it's a voluntary contribution. I don't know what I can say to that. I mean, it's a voluntary, so you know, I can show you the data any way you want it. We'll try to be as flexible as possible to give you an idea of where the spending is happening, and you know, then it's up to you to make the call at the end of the day.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Oh, sorry.
Yes, I think Akram, generally listening to you, particularly to your last comments, makes me then wonder if, other than the cost that would be attributable to the CCs, if ICANN at some point has in the past, I know you have been with ICANN for quite a while, but I don't know if ICANN in the past has ever made an attempt to understand what drives this cost well. You just made a comment and said, we need to start on the basis of saying, this is what I put to provide this particular service. Well, I think the more appropriate basis could be, what does it cost me to run that particular service? There are processes within ICANN. You can't predict how many policy development processes will take place in a particular year. But understanding what it costs ICANN to drive a policy development process, at least on average, I think would be a good basis for ICANN to work on and use in terms of budgeting. Whether you call it traditional costing or activity-based costing is open to debate. But the point is, I suppose ICANN, maturing as it is, should come to a point where it understands well what does it cost to do a particular or to render a particular service. Beyond the first round of the new DTLD applications, the same thing. You know, when the second round comes, hopefully the cost will be understood better. And from the same vein as well, the cost of providing support to us as CCs will be understood better.
Thank you. I understand the request, and I think that it would be very beneficial to us if we could actually get to a number that says, you know, or to an estimate that says this is really what it costs us to develop a policy. I need to think about that and figure out, you know, how we could actually get to such a model. But I can see the challenge in that, but I can see the benefit of that as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Can't be all. We've got heaps of questions on that budget and plan, but anyway. No? Okay. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. And
thank you.
Are we clear on the rest of the process, or do we need a brief explanation on what follows next with the operational plan?
I am making suggestions. In principle, I think Juan and Akram will be at the CCNSO meeting on Tuesday morning as well. Is that, say, maybe the four of us, or say you four, Byron, Rudolf, and the two of you, think about how we're going to run that session and what we want to do and what we want to present it based on, say, the exchanges of today and the prep work of the SOP working group, and what will be the focal point of the meeting on Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Bart. Good suggestion. Yeah.
Very
so
good.
We find time to
get together,
to
maybe
prepare ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, and looking forward to continue to improve the working relationship and the process, and meet your needs for transparency and visibility to the financials. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. So, Byron, your working group session.